Continue with doors again. I hope this is the last door. Not the last door, as in, but the last sharing for this month about doors. I believe I have something to, God is leading us to other things. But let's go on with doors again, okay? We have looked at many things. We started looking at the doors from Dothan, remember? Yeah. Then last week we looked at the door as the entry door to the kingdom of God. Was it Paul, right? Who said, we must enter go through many tribulations to enter the kingdom of God. So we looked at tribulations, affliction, suffering from the biblical perspective. We looked at how we can't escape from tribulation, affliction, and suffering. Amen. Can you still remember the fiery trials and all that? If you missed the last week, all our sermons are recorded, so you can access it. Right now it's in Dropbox, but I'm going to move it to a site so you don't need to download. You can play or you can stream right from the site. Okay, so we'll let you know what is on that site. Let's look at 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 7. Before we look at the door, I want to introduce you to a character from the Old Testament, a king by the name of Hezekiah. You know, in the Old Testament, King David is like a hero. Am I right? Everybody knows about King David. I think other than King David, the next king who should be very, very remarkable during his reign must be King Hezekiah. Actually, there were things mentioned about King Hezekiah which surpassed King David. You know? So it's very interesting. But we are not going to study the life of King Hezekiah, but let's look at King Hezekiah from the perspective of 2 Kings 18, verse 7. If you have found it, let's read it together. Okay, whatever version, 1, 2, go. The Lord was with him. He prospered wherever he went, and he rebelled against the king of Assyria and did not serve him. What I was attracted to was in the New King James Version that I'm reading, that this King Hezekiah, he prospered wherever he went. I know that in a modern Christian world today, you look at the word prosper, your eyes begin to have the dollar sign. Right? Ding, 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 ding. Like the Mickey Mouse, or that suddenly the dollar sign. But I don't think, come on, does the king need to be prosperous? No, he's very rich, right? So biblical prosperity, talk about other things, right? More than money. But it is something that is very attractive to me. He prospered wherever he went. How many of us want that? Wow. You see, king needs that. A king needs that to deal with his reign, his kingdom. He needs prosperity. So what can we deduce from the word prosperity? If you look at the original text, it would mean he has wisdom, he has prudence, he has understanding wherever he went. He has a wisdom to do what is right. He makes progress. Okay? He is led in a direct and an easy way. Everything goes well wherever he went. We like all that, right? And King Hezekiah had that. That he prospered wherever he went. Now, if you think it is only once, it was mentioned again in 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 30. In 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 30, I read for you, it says, this same Hezekiah also stopped the water outlet of Upper Gihon and threw up and brought the water by tunnel to the west side of the city of David. And the last phrase, it says, Hezekiah prospered in all his works. Wow. So at least there are two mentions where King Hezekiah prospered wherever he went, prospered in all his works. If you look at the Hebrew language, they use different words from the two verses, but both imply the meaning of prosperity, of success, of wisdom, of progress, of breaking through. So King Hezekiah broke through, had success, had a straight path wherever he went and whatever he did. Have I sold you the idea that it was a very, he is a very good king. Amen. Hallelujah. And you know that in New Testament, everybody knows there is a verse that also tells us. So it's not just a promise in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, in 3 John, chapter 1, verse 2, it says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper." So it is God's will for us to prosper. It's just that we must not get the wrong perspective. It says, "You may prosper in all things." Same like Hezekiah. In all, wherever he went, and in all his works. He has to be every aspect, every area of our lives. Most people are only good at certain areas in their work or in the ministry, and they go back to the family, they are like a mess, or in the workplace, they are a mess. But the biblical idea is it must be holistic. Wherever you go, in all that you do, we must be prosperous. Amen. Yes. And it tells us it's in 3 John 2, it says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things, and be in health, just as your soul prospers." So there we have a key that actually our health has a link to the prosperity of your soul. Alright, if you have a sickness, check the condition of your soul. Okay, it's a spiritual principle. It says, "And be in health, just as your soul prospers." If your soul prospers, you should be in health. Amen. So usually, a lot of sicknesses have to do with the condition of your soul. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So I want to go back now. Let's study, why did King Hezekiah prosper? You must be thinking in your mind, you tell me prosper, prosper. Tell me how, why? Why King Hezekiah prospered, right? You want to know why. There must be a basis for it. There must be a reason for it. So go back to 2 Chronicles 29. Kings in Chronicles, these are the records of the different kings in the kingdom. When the kingdom was split into two, we have the records of king in the kingdom of Judah, kingdom of Israel. Okay? So in 2 Chronicles chapter 29, where we read the beginning of the reign of King Hezekiah. If you have 2 Chronicles chapter 29, can you read for me verse 1, anybody? 2 Chronicles 29 verse 1.
Hezekiah became king when he was 25 years old. And he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah.
Who is 25 years old here? Anybody 25 years old here? Not the Balehead. You came very close already. Very close, the Balehead. 25. Nobody 25. Right? King Hezekiah became king at 25 years old. And he reigned for 29 years. 25 plus
29?
It's just to make sure your mind still works. Huh? You rely on that. I have fought so long already. You see, 354. Which one is it?
54.
25 plus
29.
54. Agree now? No fight, eh? 50. It's just nothing like this. No numerology. Just to test that your mind is still active, okay? Verse 2. Who can read verse 2?
"And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father David had done."
So this was the start of the reign of King Hezekiah. If you quickly turn to chapter 28, you will read the king, the former king before Hezekiah. He has a bad king. If you read 2 Chronicles 28, you'll be shocked at the record of the things he did. He's a very bad king. 2 Chronicles 28. What's the name of the king in 2 Chronicles 28, Justin? Ahaz, okay? He was a very bad king. Have you found it, Benjamin? Chapter 28, is it Ahaz or Ahaz? Does it tell you how to read? No more.
Ahaz.
Thank you, eh? Ahaz. Everybody try Ahaz.
Ahaz.
Very good. Thank you. So Ahaz was a bad king. My brother, my sister, King Hezekiah didn't have a good start. Imagine if you have a bad king, you inherited a kingdom which had a bad king. He didn't have a good start. All of us was never guaranteed a good start. Maybe some of us were born in Donald Trump's house, I don't know. But most of us are not, right? So we didn't have a good start also. But the key is not whether you had a good start or not, whether you started right or not. King Hezekiah started out right. Amen. He didn't have a good start. He inherited a lousy, evil kingdom from a lousy king. But he decided to start right. My brothers, my sisters, some of us had a lousy start. Very bad family background. You come from very nasty family background you are not proud of. Or you come from very strange background that you are not proud of. But that is not a cause for you to blame them. Amen. That cannot be a cause for you to complain and be bitter. Because all of us will not be judged by what kind of backgrounds we come from. Okay? But we will be judged by our response to the background we came from. King Hezekiah decided to start right. Hallelujah. How did he start right? In verse 2. That's not who read verse 2? Can someone help me with verse 2? Oh, you read already, right?
Yeah.
He did what was right in the sight of God. How can you start right when your eyes are upon God? That means he realized he didn't have a good he didn't have a good background to start with, but he did what was right in the sight of God. He recognized that there was an eyes over him. There is a God, he lived under the eyes of God, and because of that, his eyes were also upon God. And secondly, he did according to all that his father David had done. Was his father David? What was the father's name?
Ahaz.
Right? Yes. Right. But what did the Bible tell us? I know most Israelites see David as their father because they see him as a hero and they want to claim that lineage. They are all their sons of David. But what we can also say is Hezekiah saw beyond the natural. You and I may not have a perfect natural parents, but you have to see beyond that. You have to see beyond that. He saw David. You and I should see beyond natural. Jesus. You know, my wife always encouraged people who do not have a good background. Jesus is your father. He encouraged them, niece and whoever that comes from broken family who does not have a fatherly figure in their lives. She always tells them, Jesus is your father. Because to my wife, that is a reality in her life. Jesus was very real in her life. When she grew up as a young person, when she saw other friends having computer and she doesn't have one, she would speak to Jesus. And Jesus, as a father who loves her, will provide what she needs. Am I right? I didn't say God's wrong, right? It was your testimony, right? That was my wife's testimony. She came from a broken family. Right? The father has left. But that did not stop her from having a father. She saw a father in Jesus. Hallelujah. Hezekiah saw a father in David. David is a picture of Jesus. Jesus is the son of David. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 3. Who wants to read verse 3?
In the first year of his rule, in the first month, opening the doors of the Lord's house, he made them strong.
Okay. So what did he do? Why did Hezekiah prosper? Now we come to the real thing. We come to what we want to look at tonight. He opened the doors. Like I told you, I already hinted. We continue on with our door story. Okay? He opened the doors of the house of God and he repaired them. These are the two keys that we want to learn this evening. Before going there, can someone turn to Luke 17 verse 21? Luke 17 verse 21. And another person turn to 1 Corinthians 6:19. Okay, two scripture references. Luke 17, 21. 1 Corinthians 6:19. If you think you want another one, I can give you one more. 1 John chapter 3, verse 24. Okay, I want these three verses, three different people to read these three verses. Luke 17, 21, 1 Corinthians 6:19, 1 John 3, 24. Let's start with Luke chapter 17, verse 21.
Nor will they say, see here or see there. Indeed, the kingdom of God is within you.
What does this verse tell us? Where is the kingdom of God? Hello? Where? Within us means what? Inside us, right? You, if you can see the transition of Old Testament, Old Covenant into the Renewed Covenant, into the New Testament, there is a shift from externals into internals, right? Remember the Pharisees, they were still stuck in the old mindset of the Old Testament. They said, hey, why you don't wash your cup, right? Why you don't wash your hands when you eat? He told Jesus, hey, why your disciples, they don't wash their hands before they eat? And there was another occurrence when he told Jesus, you didn't wash your hands before you eat? And Jesus told him, told them, the Pharisees, it's not the outside. It's what's inside that will pollute you, that will contaminate you. Pharisees were still stuck with the old mindset, right? If you look again and again, they also interpreted Torah in the light of an external perspective. Hey, you can't heal someone on Sabbath. You have broken the Torah. You have broken the law. Right? Externally, Jesus knew the heart behind Torah. The heart behind the one who wrote Torah. It is not meant to be external. If as long as you appreciate what is Torah, you, the spirit behind Torah, why you can't heal? So, but there are still many people, you call them legalistic people today, still insist on certain external things, right? But we have to be clear, when Jesus came, when he started the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, he began to tell us the principles of the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Amen. Well, I just saw Sister Rosie. Because she's been missing, right? You okay already?
Praise the Lord.
Thank you for everyone's prayer. Praise the Lord. You okay? Okay. So, Jesus said, many people will say the kingdom of God is there. The kingdom of God is here. Kingdom of God is inside. Easy to say. Do you know? Are you aware of the kingdom of God inside you?
Yes.
Yes. Wow. That should be the way. What's the next verse just now? We'll go a little deep later, but let's look at the three verses first. 1 Corinthians 6:19.
Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not
Cannot. Same person, right?
Same person, cannot. 1 Corinthians 6:19.
1 Corinthians, I forgot. You read the first one, right? So okay, second one must be the next person. Anyone? 1 Corinthians 6:19. Thank you, you have been very helpful.
Just
play.
What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own?
We say the kingdom of God is in us, right? Jesus said that the kingdom of God is within you. And then the Apostle Paul brought it right clearer, and he says that inside you, your body is the temple. He makes it clearer. You see, in the kingdom of God, there must be a king, right? Kingdom is someone who rules. Basilia, the rule of God is inside you. And then in 1 Corinthians, Paul began to say, your body is the temple. Now he brings in the idea of the temple. What is the temple? From the Old Testament perspective, we know temple, right? Yeah. What is that?
Yes,
it starts with what? In the wilderness, it was the tabernacle, remember?
Yeah.
Right? There was the dwelling of God. Tabernacles, then you have the temple of Solomon, remember? Then it was destroyed, and then there was another third temple, and there's a fourth temple, right? Mm. Right? Or fifth temple? You're not sure already, right? You just say yes, yes, yes. But there will be another temple that will be built before Jesus comes back again. Right? Okay. So temple is very important, but more importantly, this temple has now become inside us. The very first of which was in the wilderness, right? Moses saw that when he was up the mountain. He didn't come up with a creative idea, let's do a tabernacle. He didn't do that. He went up the mountain, God brought him to heaven, showed him a pattern, a heavenly pattern. What was the heavenly pattern? You have the outer courts, you have the holy place, and you have the holy of holies. This is the pattern in heaven. And this is inside you. Your body is these three things. You have your body, the outer courts, you have the soul, your holy place, you have the spirit, the holy of holies. God is in your spirit. It must be clear. In the Bible it says your spirit and the spirit of God is joined. It's joined together. Are you still following me? Mm-hmm. Amen. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God is inside you. Okay? 1 John chapter 3, verse 24.
He that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he has given us.
So, we know that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is in us. God, Jesus, is staying inside us. You must be thinking, hey, this is all basic. But please, get this right into your spirit first. 1 John chapter 3, verse 24, it says, person who keeps his commandment abides in Jesus, right? He abides in Jesus, and Jesus abides in him, in the person. By this, we know that Jesus abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. Jesus also made many references. He says, if you believe in me, out of you will flow rivers of living water. He speaks of the Holy Spirit, right? If you have all that picture inside you, even in Ezekiel, when there was a temple, right from the throne, there is a river that flows from the throne. Can you remember that? Ezekiel saw a vision of the temple. Right on the throne, there is a river. So inside you, if you believe God, the Holy Spirit comes in, and the Holy Spirit is like a river that flows. Mm-hmm. What is this telling us? This is kingdom principle. Everything flows from inside out. You have to understand that. Transformation, change in your life must flow from inside out. You go to a drug rehab center, people will beat you from the outside. They break you outside, right? To make you become free from addiction. But true change, true freedom, true deliverance comes from inside out. Why? The river is inside you. You and I are supposed to live as one who has the light, the life, and the glory of God inside you, flowing out to the world around you. Amen. Are you seeing the picture? You step into a place, and Christian supposed to, here, listen carefully, release a vibration, release a frequency, release an energy from inside you where Jesus dwells. Where the presence of God is, where the Shekinah glory of God is inside you, it's supposed to flow out from your spirit, flow out. When you pray for a sick person, you are not trying to ask from somewhere it comes. When you pray for a sick person, it flows from inside you and it releases to that person and it receives. God said there is an anointing within you. Even in a corporate anointing, it is also inside. It's not outside. It's the anointing inside everyone flows out. It is the intermingling of spirits and souls. Teaching something of a spiritual principle. If you want to learn, you see Benihim, you see those people who operate in the spirit, he likes people to gather together. Okay? A lot of people like to minister one at a time. But if you understand corporate anointing, if you understand a spiritual principle, we gather people together. I learned that from my old church. I go to Indonesia, I get people to come out. When they respond, they come up near together, they hold their hands. I ask them to hold their hands. Because when they do that, there is an intermingling, that there is a connection between all the souls, the spirit. We are not aware, but there is an anointing that comes up. So when they are together, you pray, it releases a corporate anointing. It happens. You see in Rodney Rounds meeting, you will see in last time in Kenneth Hagin, the Benny Hinn's meeting, you know, they pray for a section, they say this section ready to receive, and they just speak a word, or they release, or they throw their jacket or whatever, and that whole section receives. They understand the concept. There is that concept. But if you take it separately, individually, when you pray for healing, it comes from inside you. That is the way how you and I must live. Amen? Okay? Change comes from inside out. Amen? Your direction, your guidance, you hear God's voice, comes from inside out. Some of you, I cannot hear you, strain your ear. Where is the voice of God? It is not outside. Yes, there can be audible voice. That is the difference. Sometimes angels speaks in your ears. Angels speaks in your ears, it is from the outside. You hear a voice from the outside, it is an angel speaking to you. God always speaks to you from inside. Amen. Amen. Are you
a bit scared?
You're okay with this? All of us must learn more things, right? Cannot stay the same. So because all of this we learn, then when we do ministry or when we pray for people, when you pray for a person for sick, for healing or whatever, what do you do? What do you expect? What are you expecting? You're expecting anointing to be released through you. Right? Either individually or corporate, you are praying and believing God through, you're just a channel. Right? Some people are more sensitive. Some people, when they pray for people, they feel, feel something come out from me. Anyone felt that before? Some people feel, I feel warm in my hand. And they know that's the anointing, and they quickly go and lay hands on people. It's not physical, but it comes from inside you. Are you getting it? Amen. Hallelujah. So this is the kingdom principle. The presence of God is inside you. He abides in you. He promises to do that. But this is Jesus. The enemy's principle, the enemy's strategy is attacking you from outside. Why? You have your eye gate, you have your ear gate. They plant thoughts into you through your eye gate and your ear gate. It's from outside on. Okay? You should be able to differentiate the thought, a temptation, it comes from outside, it comes to you. It's a thought that comes from outside. When God speaks to you, it's from inside. It bubbles up from within you. It's a spontaneous flow that comes from inside you. The dreams that you have, the visions that you see, is from inside you. But temptation comes, the enemy's attack through your eye gate, through your ear gate. It's attacking from the outside. But kingdom principle, how Jesus works, Jesus is inside you, we abide in Christ, Christ is in us. Hallelujah. And change, transformation takes place from inside out. Revelation, direction, is always from inside. We are not waiting to get, you know, sometimes people wait for something outside, but we know it is from the inside. Amen. So we are the temple of God. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Go back to Hezekiah. Why did he prosper? What was the first things he did? He opened the door and he repaired the door. Have Jesus inside you, you have the presence of God inside you, you have the glory of God inside you, does not mean it will flow out if the door is closed. If you read this now, the bad king, King Ahaz, in 2 Chronicles, okay? In 2 Chronicles 28, why not we read? Might as well, so that you get a clearer picture. 2 Chronicles chapter 28, King Ahaz closed the door of the temple. Right? We read that King Hezekiah opened, but King Ahaz, out of his unfaithfulness towards God, when we are living an unfaithful life to the Lord, we close that door. Light cannot flow out. Life cannot flow out. The presence cannot flow out if you are unfaithful to God. Have you found 2 Chronicles chapter 28? Okay, we'll start from whoever. Right? One verse at a time, verse 22 to 25. If you read one time already, you can now join in, okay? Verses 22 to 25. 2 Chronicles 28, start. Someone?
Now in the time of
What did he become? What did he become? Increasingly unfaithful to the Lord. Continue.
This is that King Ahaz.
Okay, next verse.
For he sacrificed to the gods of Damascus, which had defeated him, saying, because the gods of the kings of Syria helped them, I will sacrifice to them that they may help me. But they were the ruin of him and all Israel.
Next verse, 24.
So Ahaz gathered the articles of the house of God, cut in pieces the articles of the house of God, shut up the doors of the house of the Lord, and made for himself altars in every corner of Jerusalem.
Verse 25.
And in every several city of Judah, he made high places to burn incense unto other gods, and provoked to anger the Lord God of his father.
That was King Ahaz. All the description was to tell us how he was unfaithful to God. He was unfaithful by sacrificing to other gods, right? He began to give tribute to other gods. He began to sacrifice. Don't tell me, hey, now I'm a Christian. I don't do all that. In the New Testament, we are also told that sometimes we worship idols in our hearts. Right? If something takes the place of Jesus in our hearts, we are becoming unfaithful towards God. The moment you start to worship an idol, I know you are not worshipping the Buddhist idol or other religious idol, but anything that takes the place of Jesus in your heart, the door of your heart is closed. Why? That's your temple inside. Right? Ahaz closed the door of the house of the Lord in verse 24. You see that? He shut up the doors of the house of the Lord. Because of that, it attracted judgment upon the city of Judah. It provoked to anger the Lord God of his fathers. So number one, unfaithful towards God will cause us to close, to shut up the doors of the house of God. Do you want the doors to be shut up? Amen? Thankfully, nobody say amen. Do you want the doors of your heart to be shut off? The door of the temple inside you? This tells us it is possible through unfaithfulness. Let us see the second reason how a door can be closed. Before going there, let's go to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. You see, maybe some of you may be thinking, hey, this is an Old Testament story, Old Testament concept. I'm taking you to right to the end of the Bible, Revelation. Jesus himself spoke to through the angels to the end time church, to the church during the time of John, as well as a prophetic message to the end time church. The famous verse, Jesus actually said, behold, I stand at the door and knock, right? It tells us there is a possibility the door is shut, right? I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. Let's look at the context. Revelation 3 was written to what kind of a church, what kind of a congregation, what kind of a Christians? Is it just they? Did he just say they? Revelation chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. Verses 15, 16, how was the church described? What was the congregation? What was the condition of the congregation?
Lukewarm.
What is lukewarm? What is it?
Like a
drink, lukewarm. What does it mean in your life, in my life?
Wishy-washy.
Neither hot, neither cold.
Yeah.
Indifferent.
Yeah.
Indifferent. When we as a Christians, you know, you go to church, I still remember as a young person, sometimes I go to church, I'm indifferent. People sing, you don't lift your hands. People worship, you just stand there. When people preach, you think about other things. You're indifferent. Go to church, also never mind. If it rains, if there's haze outside, one must come today, right? You're indifferent. Sometimes we can fall into that. When everything is smooth and all right, and you're blessed, God bless you, everything is peaceful, the land is peaceful, you have a new government, everything is blessed, you become indifferent. You only find God when there's problem.
hey, now I'm sick, or now the children is like that, oh, now these things happen, oh, now my financial difficulty, you begin to be hot. God answer your prayer, and I cry out to God, God answer me, and you come back feeble. In different, neither hot nor cold. It's always like that, hot! Then you come back to, oh, very cold, don't want to go to church. Where have you been? What happened to you? No lah, busy with this project. A lot of business, oh, God bless the project. Then suddenly, pastor pray for me, project, not project. Project cannot jalan. It's always like that. You ask a person, oh, why you haven't come for some time? Oh, got project lah. The next thing you expect is, project tak boleh jalan. Usually it will lead like that. Right? Because their focus begin to be, oh, sorry lah, want a project. God loves us. God loves us so much. It is God's love. So it's very easy. Do you want that? Or you just stay hot all the time? Right? To be wise, we don't have to wait until God put us in trial. Then only we become very hot. Right? We should become hot all the time. And we can only be hot all the time when we always have an intimate relationship with God. As long as you sleep like Samuel when he was a boy, he slept beside the ark of the presence, ark of the covenant. He was so close to God. That is the way we maintain the fire. There's always a fire, right? There's always a fire in the tabernacle. You have to always stay, abide in God. So when you and I are indifferent, it also means your door is shut. If you see a person, if you want to learn to minister to a person, you see he's indifferent, sure, most likely his door is closed. You talk until you want it. When the cows come home, nothing goes inside the heart. The door is closed. These things we learn, these principles we learn, so that we don't waste time, you know. But someone, the door already closed, you spend 1 hour, 2 hours talking, you waste all your energy. You're not hitting at the right target. If you know the target is, his door is closed, you must ask God for wisdom how to make sure he opens his door. You understand? Talking, and then he also reject you. Close it. The moment you see your face, the moment you see your number in your iPhone, you say, lie down. Right, then what will happen? Hello. Correct. So we must be wise. The principles we learn, yes, we apply to ourselves, and we also is a principle we learn for ministry as well. When we want to counsel people, when we want to minister to people, if a person is indifferent, they have stopped coming to church, they don't read the Bible, they don't pray, the door in their heart is closed. Amen. You must learn the wisdom of King Hezekiah. He opened the doors. Okay? So this tonight we are what have we looked at? Unfaithfulness, indifference. Okay? And the third thing I want to talk about is a door you can open. Do you think King Hezekiah, you have a door there, right? Okay? You see my daughter, right? She's opening the door, right?
Yes.
She's opening the door, right? Can you see? Do you think King Hezekiah opened like that? What would you imagine when wide open, right? My friends, when you come to God, you can open your door very small or very big. It's different. The degree how much you open determines how much you receive, how much God works inside you. The faster the trials get solved, the faster you get an answer. Depends on how big you open the door behind. You open very small, yes. Some people open very small, they get touched, and so God will find his way in. But it is limited. It's so small. It is so cramped. That's all you get. That's the quantity you get. So learn. There are degrees of opening the doors of your heart. Right? Last time I shared with you, at first I didn't understand, hey, what is opening the door? What do you open the door of your heart? Then when I went to Argentina, when I went to the Bible school there, and then when I went, when I go to Indonesia, you see there's something different about Spanish people, about Indonesians. When they worship God, they open up their heart. Chinese is very reserved. Huh? They sing without emotions, cannot show people I cry. know, later he laughed at me. And some pastors think that crying is a weakness. The moment you see a person cry, he will come to you and say, you know, oh, it's okay, sister, it's okay. That is no wisdom at all. Some people, they cry because they are touched, they receive God's love. They are grown. I see some pastor coming, oh, this issue, it's okay, but it's okay. It's enjoying the presence of God. What is okay and not okay? I understand. So we must be also, we must. And sometimes people are in the flow already. You are in God's presence already. You are enjoying the communion. Somebody very out of a very good heart, will bring one whole box of tissue and touch you. You are enjoying your concentration, your focus. Hello. Isn't better lah? The tears flow, let it flow lah. Wait until she finish. This time, her time with God. Then only you give peace. Hello. Is it okay? Okay. I have to tell y'all, I know, y'all do all this out of a good heart. Out of a good heart. You think your little house all come out not nice, right? Doesn't matter. Let God do the whole, the work.
Wrong timing.
Good heart, wrong timing. Finish all, let him finish. Let him finish. He was asking for forgiveness. Halfway asking for forgiveness, all that, you know, with God. Issue. It's like an advertisement, you know? You want issue. No, that's suddenly, then you open your heart. Suddenly all the flow stop. Hello. Can I say all this? Nobody say all this, I know. Because they think it's a good thing. You are doing a good thing. I learned from the church I came from when I was young. No issue one. Forget about the issue one. Not so important. Everyone important to encounter God themselves. Why are you so I know you have a good heart. Finish everything when he wake up, when he's looking around, what issue? Then you go. Can you get it? I hope it doesn't offend anyone, okay? Maybe some of you are tissue givers. It's okay. It's okay. Okay, great. I'm sorry. If in your church, the pastor asks you to give, please submit to the authority. But I'm teaching you a spiritual principle. Okay? When you open the door of your heart, I gave you example of Spanish people. They are very passionate. When they sing and they worship, they are very passionate. Indonesians, when they sing, they are very passionate. When they pray, they really pour out their heart, not something in their mind. You know, when Spanish people, when they praise God, when they worship, they jump, they dance, all their heart. When they worship with all their hearts. That is how you open your heart. If you open your heart, Jesus, I worship you, Jesus, I worship you. That is Asian, okay? Why not? Do you think your son or daughter come to you, daddy, I love you? Real, right? Not to say real or not real, right? Something else. Right? We are approaching our God. We have to learn to open our hearts. Amen. Okay, that is the degree of how much you open your door. Now we come to something more serious. Okay? God's servant, when God gave them a revelation, you know, when Jesus knocked at the door of your heart, they call that the door of first love. In your spirit, there is a door. They call that a door of the first love, based on the revelation given by God to them. And they say that is a lot of people, this door has been chained up, cannot open. I've done this prophetic exercise a few times, okay, when I teach people how to hear God's voice. When I do the exercise, I was shocked. People will have different kinds of images about the door of first love in their hearts. Some of them see, why cannot open, cannot open. At the bottom of the door, there is a stopper. Different visions they see. When they ask God, God, show me the door of first love inside my spirit. Why some people, they never progress, never grow in their spirit, never have breakthrough? If the door of first love is closed, is chained up, Jesus is still knocking. You and I are the one opening the door. And how can this door be closed, be chained up? Some people, this door becomes so old, all the leaves and all that begin to grow. Can you imagine with me that kind of a door? Very old already. All the algae also all come up, all old, because it has not been open for a long time. Why? Because it's called a door of first love. Many people have bad experiences about love. Some people have bad experiences. They are failed relationship. Because of failed relationship,
broken family, all that is tied to do with love. You know, we live in an imperfect world, but you might, and I must acknowledge some people in their marriage, they have not a perfect relationship, but they could, you know, the people closest to us seem to hurt us the most and betray us. When they betray us, it hurts us the most. And naturally, inside you, there will be a response demanded. When these things happen, what do you do? And many people, they do this, what you call, inner vows. They will say, I'm not going to let anyone hurt me again. They didn't voice out one. Inside their mind, they say, I will never let anyone hurt me again. Some children, when they are young, they pee, right? In the classroom, everybody laugh. You pee in your pants, or they poop in the classroom, right? And all the children laugh. It became a very unpleasant memory in their mind when they are young, when they were still growing. And inside them, I will never, never let my friends laugh at me. You know, inside them. Because it was such an embarrassing thing. And all these vows, this I will never, some young boys, first time they look at a girl, they love it so much. Can I be your girlfriend? Bodo bodo lah, go on. Can I be your boyfriend? Can you be my girlfriend? Then the girl took around. Right? That's it lah. Just a one. Like that, just one. The boy broken. For don't know how many days, cannot sleep, cannot eat. And inside him, he begins to say, I'm not going to fall in love again. Some homosexuals become homosexuals because of such experiences. It's never genetic. Okay? It's never genetic. So these things cause the dog to be closed, to be shut up, to be chained. And this doesn't only affect their relationship with people, it affects their relationship with God. Because inside them, unknowingly, subconsciously, they already say, I will never be hurt by person again. People who are hurt in their marriages, broken family, broken relationships, I will not be made to feel ashamed. You know, some people has rejection from their parents' love. Children can have rejection from their parents' love. I will not. So anytime a sugar daddy comes to a girl who doesn't have a parents' love, they never experienced love before. Because they say no, they've made an inner vow to say no, but when something is so attractive, they just leech to it. Are you following me?
Yes.
So betrayal by loved ones, failed relationships, rejection, broken family, all this happen in the context of relationships, in families, in marriages, in church context, being hurt by a church member. So he or she will never get close to a pastor. Will never be hurt by a pastor. I will not trust a pastor again. Some people are like that. I cannot trust a pastor. Never again. Unknowingly, the door of first love has been closed. And you and I must be like King Hezekiah. If you have that, you must. How do I do that usually in a prophetic class, the first thing I do is, you know, everyone must get into the presence of God. You must know that God is near you. Then you must be able to imagine a door. You know, if you cannot imagine a door, you must go to the door, open and close to get a feel of it. Then you can do this at home, right? You go to look at the door, open it and close it, open and close it. You can imagine it in your mind, in your heart, right? Can you imagine it? Then you begin to be quiet and you ask God, please reveal to me the state and the condition of this door in my spirit. Reveal to me. Show me what is the state. You know, then you must first imagine Jesus is on the other side, wanting to come in. But you have to open the door. So you have to look for the doorknob. You do not know where is it. You know, in the spirit, when you are in the presence of God, you do this in the presence of God, then you close your eyes, you begin to try. Hey, then some people will say, hey, how come no knock one? Different people, different, you will be shown by the Holy Spirit, hey, what is this? How come I can't find a dog? Some people saw a stopper down there, some people saw something is chained up.
then you begin to engage in that visionary experience. You begin to engage in that prophetic experience. You say, Father, forgive me. What is it? What are the inner vows I've made? What are the things I've said to myself that caused this door to be closed? God, I repent. Most important thing to do is, Lord, I repent. Like I recall many, some of you, I heard some of you say before, you know, when I was young, I can see spirits, right? Because all kinds of spirit, ghost spirit, good, all that. They say, I would never want to see this again. And it shut off the spiritual capacity inside you, right? So we must learn those, say, you repent, Father, I'm sorry, right? Restore that to me. I don't want to see those negative things, but I want to see the good things. You cannot say, I don't want to. Some people, I heard our pastor, he was moving very sharp in his word of knowledge, right? He can tell people's address and all the condition. Then people begin to say he's witchcraft. He said, I don't want to do this again. And you cannot flow that anymore. See how powerful that is, what you say to yourself. What you say, God records down. Don't ever think that whatever you say is just saying. I'm always tempted in that area. You know, when I feel disappointed, I feel like, you will want to say, I want to serve God. Be careful what you say. It has an implication in the spirit realm. You go to a church, you serve in a church, you don't say, you don't like it. Or when God moves there, you don't say something, I don't like to come here or what. If you are invited, you go again, it's very difficult to serve. It's very difficult to flow in the spirit because of the words you say. You have to learn. If never easily fall to the trap, the evil enemy always has a trap for you to say out something. Yeah? Give up with him. You thought there's nothing. But the next moment, you want to try to do something again, it's hard. Because you say you give up with him. You must start from zero, ground one again. All the things that the pressure in your life, it causes you to do what? I give up again. Right? I don't like it anymore. I don't want to divorce like this, like that. The moment you say that, you're causing something in the spirit realm. Divorce lah. Even though you don't divorce, if you don't repent, that word hanging at divorce will affect your relationship, your marriage. You have to repent. You have to break it, you have to repent. Every time it's like that, right? It works in your relationship, in your workplace. I hate this place, I hate it. You hate lah. Next time you go to work, it doesn't. You find it hard to work. Because you say you hate, but how to work? So be very careful. Every time there's stress, there's pressure, never fall to the temptation of speaking up the negative things. Or inside life, not just say inside. Not just say, I don't want life. I wish I don't. Why God you give me this kind of assignment? Why God you don't like this kind of don't say it. Remember, it's faith. I believe. Even when it happens, you still always say, I choose to believe. God, I choose to believe. It's a purpose you reign. I choose to believe you are still working. I choose to believe you are king because the kingdom of God is in me. Amen. So all these things have an impact in the spirit realm, unseen realm. It has an impact on. And that's why some of you there wonder why these things never happen. Why it never happened? Ask God, what have you responded in the spirit realm? Okay, so when you are free, go home. And do that exercise. Ask God to reveal what is the condition of that door inside you. And begin to, when God shows you, you respond, you engage in that experience, and you open the door. You open the door, you see Jesus coming. You see Jesus coming. Okay? And when that door is open, you have a flow of the presence of God through your body, through your life. Amen? That is what King Hezekiah did. And what was the result of the result of which is he prospered all the time wherever he went with all the works he did. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you blessed?
Yes.
Are you learning something?
Yes.
Or are you like, what is he saying? If you don't know what I'm saying, it's okay. Learn to open the door. go home and open the door. Hallelujah. The second thing that King Hezekiah did, what did he do? Brother Joseph, what did he do? He opened the door and he repaired the door. Okay. Brother Joseph is a wise man. You ask him, should have questions. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So he repaired the door.
If a door is not spoiled, do you need to repair?
No.
No. So number one, you repair a spoiled or a faulty door. Okay, what is a spoiled and a faulty door? Have you had a spoiled or a faulty door? The door cannot open, cannot close on lah. Don't know when to open, don't know when to close. Okay, a door that cannot, don't know when to open, don't know when to close, is a spoiled and faulty door. What does it mean in your life? You do not know when to open, when to close. When you come to church, when you come before God, you do not know how to open your heart. You go outside to the world, people tell you sad story, people tell you this, people tell you that. You open your heart. You come back, you're so sad. You know, I heard my colleague's story, you're so sad. 5 days you cannot eat. You're so sad. You know why? You open your heart to that thing. Have you experienced that? You heard something. Or you watch drama. You cry as if the actor and actress presence are going to sleep. In fact, they are happily after the act. They just go and have a nice food. But you watch. You cry. You open your heart. So why? To K Korean drama. Drama, but that's why. Like a pastor, also sometimes very dangerous. Every day, counsel people, listen to people. If he open the heart all the time, listen, he go back, he will be like. Right. Actually, a good pastor is like that. Because he actually opened up. But if he closed his door, he found like, oh, it was. Then he finished talking. So, like, but a good pastor will listen. But a good pastor must listen and also learn. I told you before, must learn the key of Manasseh. Manasseh, forget.
Okay.
Huh? Miracle of forgetting. That's what Dr. Brian Bailey taught. Dr. Brian Bailey has gone home to heaven, but he said, after he listened to all the counseling, the next time he goes to church and he see that person, yo. He look at the face, yo, all the problem come. How can I minister to him? Because he has already told but all the stories he's taught, all his life story. The moment he look at, liar, adulterer. The moment he look at the church, you know, he's a liar, adulterer. Look at another member, yo. He knows all about his family. How to minister? How to have the heart of God, heart of a shepherd? Then God gave him the wisdom. Ask God for the gift of Manasseh. Remember, forget everything. Joseph, firstborn, was called Manasseh. Before he had Ephraim, abundance, bountiful, double blessings, he must have Manasseh. All the sad experiences that he has gone through, God must erase them. You cannot have all those memories inside. You want to be a pastor? If you have a pastoral calling, you must learn. Ask God, give me gift of Manasseh. So if you come to me for counseling, sorry, if I forget, I'm sorry. You come here, you remember the day I told you this. Sorry, I forget. It's not that I'm not interested or what. I mean, I listen, I will pay attention, I will listen. But I will then close the door, then it's done. You pray, you minister, that's it. That's God's wisdom. I'm human. Okay, you are also human. Don't try to be God. But that's what you do, right? Your colleague thought tell you, gossip to you. You go home so sad. So sad, so affected by what you hear. You know, hey, my father like that, my mother like that. Oh, my, my colleague, so pitiful. Affected you, cannot have dinner. You open your heart so wide. That is a faulty door, spoiled door. Don't know when to open, don't know when to close. Brothers and sisters, in the world outside, and everyone else, close your door. Listen, okay, enough to go, okay? Listen, come to God, open your door, receive all you want, tell God all you want, pour out all you want, all your troubles, tell Him. Oh, don't have to gossip about, you know, I want to do, they want to do this to me, tell God, that one, do. Correct? I'm still learning that. Sometimes I still, why the person do that to me in the office? But of course, not wrong, I come back, I tell my wife, it's not to gossip, That's the purpose of husband and wife, right? Come back, my share burden. Don't say I don't hear. If you husband and wife, husband do that, I don't know, I close my door, die. Right? Who taught you all this? Pastor Benjamin.
I'm not
No, husband and wife can. Love can. Okay? Don't say I don't want to hear.
Pastor said no need to hear.
Don't get it wrong, huh? Husband and wife, family, your son, your daughter come to you with problem. I want to hear. You must learn to open to the right person and close to the wrong person. Repair the door. Okay? Go and screw it a bit inside you. Yeah, don't know when to open, don't know when to not. Suka-suka open. Yeah? Small door, what? Suka-suka already. Wind blow open already. Gossip wind. No wind close. Come to God. Hey, I'm not just telling you a fiction, it's biblical principle. Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. When you pray, go into your room. When you have shut your door, pray to your Father. See, you cannot pray to God if you do not shut your door to the world. Open the door to God, shut the door to the world. Okay, Matthew 6 says, it's a spiritual principle that people don't realize. Right? You have to put away your phone. You have to close your ear gate, eye gate. I struggle with that. When I wake up to pray, I learn to look at my handphone. You have to shut the door. Don't look at the handphone. Okay? You want to pray, go into your room. When you have shut, only when you have shut the door. A lot of people, when they want to pray, they come pray. They all, Jesus, thank you. Then suddenly you think something. Then you stop halfway. Jesus said, here halfway. Why here suddenly you stop? Because you begin to think other things. Already. I know. Do you know that?
Yes.
Jesus, what happened? Matthew 6:6. Amen. Okay, let's be quick. Are you blessed?
Yes.
Next one, eh? You must know when to open, when to close, especially when you relate to other people. When you see, what do you see, what do you hear, be very careful. Number two, you know the door? How did King Hezekiah repair the door? The door was ornamented with gold. That was the original condition. King Solomon, when he built the temple, the door of the temple, everything was gold, including the door. But King Ahaz stripped all the gold, take out all the articles in the temple, break out the one. So the door don't have gold. Hezekiah did put back the gold, but actually the Jewish people, the Jewish rabbis also found a flaw in Hezekiah. When the enemy king came and asked for gold, he really couldn't find, because King Ahaz has already sold all the gold, right? He also, after he has repaired the door, he also took out the gold and gave it to him. Because no choice. The enemy came saying, you give me 20 shekels of gold or whatever. He had to also strip the gold. Yeah, when he came, he said, no choice. Also, the reference is 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 16. 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 16. Where King Hezekiah stripped the gold from the doors of the temple of the Lord and from the pillars which Hezekiah had overlaid. He has repaired it, but then he stripped again. But let's just focus on when he repaired the door, he overlaid it with gold. Gold in the Bible speaks of two things. Number one, divinity. Okay, you see all the tabernacle when they use gold, because it wants to speak of the nature of God. God's character and nature. He is divine. He is a divinity. And all of us must have the same character. And the second thing gold speaks of is the genuineness of faith. Okay? Through trials and testings, your faith is purified. Okay? But how do you repair your door? Your faith must be purified through testings. Your character must reflect the nature and the divinity of God. Amen. Amen. But don't be like King Hezekiah. This is the danger. After you have gone through testing, you have faith already. When the enemy attacks again, you lost the precious lessons you learn in trial. Many people have gone through very difficult trials. They learn many, they have collected many treasures in darkness. But the enemy doesn't give up. It comes again. If you also give that away, you lost all the lessons. So when things come again, you react the same way again. So you see yourself, if you have gone through a trial, if another trial comes again, you react the same way again. You give back the gold. By right, a trial should purify our faith. Our faith should become purer, should become better. The next time the trial comes, we respond differently. Because we have learned something. A character, an attribute of God has been imparted to us. Your faith has come to the next level. The next time a trial comes, I don't react the same way. That's what my wife and myself learned in the beginning when we want to believe in divine health and divine healing. My daughters, you know, the first time parents, right? Wow, fever, you scared, run to the doctor, buy paracetamol, have stock on this. Go to Singapore, you must buy antihistamine. A bit like that, only go to the pharmacy, buy antihistamine. Then we begin to read the scriptures, it says, God is a healer. Divine health is our inheritance. Bread is our bread. Healing is the children's bread. So the next time daughter's sick, eat a bit. Your faith must be purified a bit. Right? Then you must have God's character. Okay, like, still feed a bit. Like, must eat, like, paracetamol, must. I said, okay, like, must. The next time, different. Now my daughters are sick, we don't go to the doctor. By the grace of God. Amen. This is nothing to be proud. This is something we learn. Right? Don't say at one time, I don't want to hear you or some people like that. I don't want to throw away my hypertension medicine. Don't. Please, you will die. Okay, don't. I throw away diabetes. I don't want to eat. I'm free. Pastor say I can eat. The moment you wake up tomorrow, you begin. You straight away in heaven. God teach us step by step. Okay? If you receive that conviction, check with someone. See, I checked with my wife and myself, we talked about it. At first, of course, I say something, you say, can man? So much discussion, doctors are father and mother, I cannot say no. Stop it, no matter it. Tomorrow wake up, I go and throw all away from the fridge. Gone, right? Slowly. Now we go to clinics, the doctors are, you got stuck or not at home? Well, whatever they say. They will always ask, do you have stock for Panadol or whatever? What for? So you learn. Incremental. First like that, and next time like that, you must learn from your child. Don't give away the gold. Many people don't learn from their child, so wasted. Again and again. Never learn anything. Same response. You understand? First time, worry. Second time, worry again. Third time, worry again. All your gold, give back to the enemy. By right, it's like that. First time, worry. Second time, not so worry. Third time, not so worry. Right, fourth time,
relax.
Relax. Praise the Lord.
Fourth time is no problem.
No problem. Amen. But by the grace of God and His help. Amen. Bye, Sister Rosie. Yeah, God bless you.
Bye.
Thanks for praying, everybody.
Praise the Lord. See you again. So, ornamented, you go. You have that. And the last one. Okay, we go to the last one. Yeah, we save for one more. One last one. When you open the door, have you ever opened the door and you hear like that? Have you heard me?
Full door.
Oh, the door?
Yeah.
Good door.
Good door.
Good door, no sound.
Very smooth.
Very smooth, right? Yes, you see, very smart. Brother Justin got it. How do you repair the door? The door is already old. You must pour on the Holy Spirit, comfort us and counsel us. You and I need the anointing of the Holy Spirit to repair the door of our heart. Sometimes our heart is like that, very noisy. Have you been very noisy before in your life? When you start complaining about everything, today haste lah, government lah, everything work lah, boss lah, children lah. You noisy. Why so noisy? When a person is noisy, you must be patient. His door needs oil. Okay? There are two applications. In your life, when you are noisy, you need the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen.
Amen.
And when other people are noisy, be patient. They are not out to attack you or they won't take it personally. They need oil. Their door has become rusty. Must clean the rust. Must oil the door. The Holy Spirit will give us power and illumination. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Shall we stand? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for the word that we hear, that has been shared this evening. You are such a good God. We thank you that these few weeks we have been looking at doors. And now finally this week we are meditating and reflecting once again the doors of our hearts, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We realize every verse in your scripture is full of your wisdom, Lord. It's rich with your illumination of truth, Lord. How much we need your word. How much we need your Holy Spirit, Lord. Without your Holy Spirit, we will always be helpless. Without help, do not know what to do. God, we need you. So even now as we come, Holy Spirit, we just want to ask for the power of the Holy Spirit to begin to work in our hearts. Yes. Some conditions of the doors of our hearts needs to be opened or needs to be repaired. Yes. You know it now. Sometimes we do not know it, but we pray and we ask the Holy Spirit speak to us tonight. And when we go home, give us an opportunity. Give us an opportunity to partake in that experience. To open that door of our hearts, Lord. Can we ask Brother Joseph, we just sing a song and let's just pray for a moment and ask the Holy Spirit to work in us. We do not want to just to receive information, but what we are after is, from what we hear, let there be an impartation of life. Let there be an impartation of life. Because when there is an impartation of life, only then our lives can change. Amen? Only then our lives can be transformed. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's sing the song that we sang just now. You are forever in my life. See me through the season. Cover me with your hands and lead me in your righteousness. I look to you. And I wait on you, Lord.
To you, Lord, I give my so good, oh Lord. Can you open your heart and worship? Whether you're in the middle of a trial, whatever you are facing, whatever you are going through, we open our hearts and worship. Oh, He's worthy. He's worthy. Let's give Him our best. Maybe you thought you want to receive something from Him, but from as a start, let us open our hearts and give Him whatever is in your heart in worship, in adoration, in thanksgiving, and whatever level you can. If you can be thankful, start with thanksgiving. If you can praise Him, then give Him praise. If you have to adore Him, worship Him. Lift up the high praises. Let God war on your behalf.
the river flows. Whatever encounters, it brings healing. Remember that the river has a potential to heal, to bring restoration. But let it flow from inside you. Come on, lift it up. Oh, shake it. Robo, yalaraba, serebe. Shikaraba, yalaraba.
Oh!
miracles, oh God. Thank you, Lord. Sheba la la ba solo. Sheba la la ba of his name to love him again. I love you.